Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Nate Love Gen podcast, and this is CarPod DM. I'm your host, Nate Williams, joined as always by the crunchin', munchin', lunchin', punchin' bunch of love. That is my wife, Jennifer Williams. Clap, clap, clap.
That's me.
She's currently devouring apples and almond butter and doing it with a lot of energy and pizzazz, a lot of crunching. As you guys know, Jen has very thin cheeks, is what she says, and it's just loud. Everything she bites into is... It's a production. But my wife is dramatic, so it makes sense that her chew... has a lot of personality to it as well. So she said that she's not dramatic, but I disagree strongly. Anyway, as per usual, we are heading to yet another appointment. This one is in Lewis, Delaware. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And but this is just a this is a normal
prenatal. They gotta.
This is a different one. Okay. Stuff. Got you.
I don't know how much detail you want.
No, I didn't know where I was going to go with that, but I think that that's plenty.
Okay. Yeah.
I think for all parties involved, yeah, that's plenty. So, going to head there. They're going to check to see how things are progressing. What we just did was we just picked up our key fobs for the tennis court and the pool area in our development. This past summer, during quarantine, we were doing a video. I forget the title of it. I think it's called like church. You can listen to church everywhere, anywhere, or something like that. And we're trying to like promote the hey, you can listen to it on the podcast, or you can listen to it through Vimeo or YouTube, whatever it is. Like, there's more places than just on Sunday that you can hear the message, that type of thing. So the joke was is that I was listening to the message while playing tennis, and we approached the tennis court, and once we got up there, we realized that the thing is locked, and like we weren't about to get in. So there were guys already there, and I was like, okay, well, those dudes will let us in, no problem. And so I walked up and said, hey, me and my wife are making a video. We live in this development. Not sure why we don't have like the little thing to get access to the things, but we don't. Could you guys let us in? And correct me if I'm wrong, but the guy was like, you guys live in this development?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep, we sure do. Right down the road.
This is where we live.
And he said, what, like where? Didn't he say, am I remembering this thing correctly? And I said, I'm not going to say it here, but I said what my address was. And he's like, oh, all right, okay, and yeah, you need a key fob to get in here. I was like, yep, got it. We've been here for a year, and he was like, you guys are owning? I was like, no, we rent. And I was just thinking, well, anyway, I'll get to that. So we go in, we do the thing, I leave, and I'm a little taken aback. Weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, bro, number one, you're a stranger, and I just like out of sheer, like, I don't want to cause an issue, told this strange man, the stranger of a man, where we live, how long we lived here, in the hopes of, like de-escalating the situation. But I'm guessing from his vantage point, we didn't belong here. And by we, I mean me. Am I making that up? Am I being hypersensitive, or... Am I remembering it correctly?
I think that's probably pretty correct.
And so we live in a retirement community, mostly older white folks. And I think that I might be the only person of color in our neighborhood.
And that one couple we walk by, she's
that's
Asian.
True.
He's white.
Okay. Me and an Asian woman are the only diversity in our particular apartment situation. And it's a similar...
It's not an apartment.
Not apartment, our town home, our neighborhood. And it's a similar demographic type situation at our church. No slight to the church, but there's not a lot of diversity in that particular area. And so I was when I wake up in the morning, I usually like read articles and stuff like that. And I saw this video of this guy who was at his pool, and a police officer came up and said, excuse me, sir, like, are you supposed to be here? And he said, yes, I am. This is my neighborhood, and I'm at my pool. And the lady said, can you show me something to prove that you're...
What the heck? Why right? do people just pick battles?
And the guy was like, I don't have to show you any... He's like, I don't have to show you anything. I don't know you.
Yeah.
And she said, like, sir, like, what apartment number are you? And the guy was like, I don't have to tell you. He's like, you're a stranger. I don't know you. That could be a fake badge. I don't know who you are. I can show you, like, and he showed her the keys. These are the keys to get into this place. They're right here. So if I have keys and I say that this is my place, that I live in this apartment and I'm here, what else do you, why are you like harassing me? And lady just stood there and kept badgering the guy. And he's like, yo, you've ruined my day because you're giving me a hard time. And I'm just at my pool in my neighborhood. Shortly after that, I saw another video. And keep in mind, like, I'm just scrolling through Facebook. I see another video of a truck driver. It's it was a black truck driver. And he made a delivery at some place. And he was trying to make his way out. And he was being blocked by somebody's car. Like the person blocked him in. So the video starts and the guy says, sir, can you please move your car? I'm just trying to leave. And the guy was like, how did you get in here? He's like, I make deliveries. I just made my delivery and now I'm trying to leave. And the guy was like, well, who was it that let you in? This is private property. He's like, I'm aware of that. And the only way to get in here is using a gate code, right? So I clearly know somebody who's here, made that delivery, and now I'm trying to leave. And so this guy's just harassing him, and he's just like, tell me your name, tell me your... He's like, I don't have to tell you anything.
I'm so bored.
He's like, I don't have to tell you anything.
Just worry about yourself.
I'm at my job. I'm doing my job. I'm at work. I've since dropped off the... I've dropped off the thing that I need to drop off. Now you're bothering me. And I'm at my job. So I wasn't planning on taking this direction. But yesterday we went... So those two stories lead up to something. Yesterday we went to the DMV because my Jen's dad, he works on cars. For those who have been listening for a while, you know that. He works on cars. He found a car that would be better for me and Jen, you know, family-wise. Got that car, bought it, fixed it up, sold it to us. So the car, when bought, was in his name, and what we wanted to do was switch it to be in our names, because let's say that I get pulled over at some point, and let's say that Jen's not here. My story to the person who pulled me over is, okay, so this car is in Floyd whoever's name. He is my father-in-law. He, and my wife's not here.
Kansas.
And he, so it's registered to him, and he has a different, at this point, it's not being believed at all. The reason it's tagged in Texas is because, or in Kansas, is because we lived there briefly after I stayed in Texas as a high school teacher, and we stayed with them. And at this point, I'm under arrest. So the thought was, like, let's move everything over to my name so that in the event that I'm pulled over for whatever reason, I can say, hey, here are my papers and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
It's registered, insured, licensed in your name.
All of that. And that's something that Jen was really pushing to get done, really wanting to get done out of fear for my...
worth it.
Yeah, out of fear for my safety.
In the area that we live as well, like, I'm not just trying to live in fear, but just got to read the room.
Yeah. So it's, I don't get the warm and fuzzies all the time at the grocery store. I don't get the warm and fuzzies all the time, like, out and about in our community. And I don't want to give anyone a reason to treat me in any type of way without knowing me. And if my driving paper type stuff isn't in order, that's a cause for, you know, all sorts of things. So we just wanted to knock that out and make sure that that's not the case moving forward. Like, I take away a stumbling block, so to speak, for us. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, have there been any moments since being married to me that you've experienced some sort of, like, people looking at you strange or looking at me strange? And just an FYI, I'm a black man and my wife is a white woman.
yeah, I guess that is important right. to note.
We should probably establish
our
that.
Our cover art is that, though.
Right. So you knew clicking on this. I'm black, she's white. So the question is, have you experienced any sort of prejudice or just situations where it's just like, that's a little, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, sometimes, like, you'll point it out to me if, like, somebody is looking weird.
Yeah.
So, like, most of the time I don't notice firsthand. But the only time that I felt like somebody had angst towards me was that lady in Target.
Yeah.
That one time.
Yeah.
And that's really the only time that I have felt like I was upsetting someone just by, like, living.
Yeah. And that was a black lady, by the way. And if you could kind of go through the story that and give some context to
she
it, that'd
was
be helpful.
Just, like, her, like, lip was, like, curled at me. We were both in the Magnolia section. I don't even believe I was with you when, like, it first happened. I think I was shopping and you were overlooking at, like,
the dude stuff.
Bedding or something. Yeah, was
this,
something.
Was this in Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
But she obviously knew that we were together. I wasn't pregnant or anything at that time. But she was just, like, side-eyeing me. Obviously had hostility towards me without saying so, but just kind of like,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just felt really odd. And that was the first encounter that I had experienced it, like, individually.
Right.
And I was surprised that it was from a black woman. Because usually it's older white men who, like, grew up where they didn't see a lot of interracial relationships.
Right.
So I didn't expect to see that from a black woman. So it's just different, you know?
Yeah.
That was the first time, though.
To piggyback off of that experience, back in the day, and not even, like, back in the day, like, 2 years ago, after I stopped working as a high school teacher teaching video stuff, which sounds weird to say out loud, period, like, to think I did that. But I was like, yo, I'm trying to make videos for me. So instead of making stuff for other people, I'm going to make my own thing, and I'm going to start a YouTube channel with my wife. And we were making YouTube videos every week, I think consistently for 8 weeks, maybe 9 weeks, mm-hmm. maybe 10 weeks altogether. I'm not sure. Something like that.
Either.
And we were just putting out little snippets of what the episode was going to be in hopes that somebody would, you know, put it on Instagram in hopes that somebody would go to the YouTube link and watch the video in its entirety. So did that for a while. Long story short, while we stopped doing that, it just took a long time. Like, it took a lot of time to plan and to prep for it and to record it and edit it. It was like a full-time job that I wasn't getting paid to do. So it didn't make sense to continue doing that. But anyway, we posted up a clip of, I don't know what we were doing, some sort of something. I don't know if it was a picture or felt like it was a clip. Maybe it was a picture of, like, hey, check out our whatever. And some lady, a black lady, said underneath, what a shame.
Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, what a shame. I think she said, like, hashtag black love or,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or something like that. And, or maybe said, like, this is so sad. That's what she said. This is so sad.
We were like,
and keep in mind, yeah. Here? And I responded back and I said something along the lines of, like, what's sad is that you are so close-minded, or, you know, that you can only view, like, I forget what I said. I said something, that wasn't like mean, but it also wasn't like, yo, you're what's sad.
About that.
Like, get out of here with that crap. So anyway, I saw that that lady posted that. I took a screenshot of it. Also, keep in mind, this is like when you comment on people's things, it goes to their phones. Just an FYI, when you comment on people's things on YouTube and Facebook or whatever, if it's that person like managing their like account or whatever, it goes directly to their phones.
Right, and you've ruined their day. Yes. So just know that.
It pops up like a notification that they would get from their mom or like their cousin or their friend or whatever. It pops up, boop, so-and-so commented on your video and shows you what it is. And that's the first thing I saw in the morning, waking up next to my fantastic wife, who I have so much in common with, somebody viewing our relationship and saying, this is sad. And she said more things, and I forget what it is that she said. I could probably look and find a screenshot. But when I posted that, my older brother, Joe, who is rough around the edges, he's a more rowdy individual. He had some choice words for her that I dare not repeat.
That lady deleted her post.
She deleted her post and changed her handle, like changed her name.
Because Joe pulled all the way up.
Yeah, he was like, girl, I know you're not talking with your, you know, it was a lot. Which I was thankful for. Which I was thankful for. But
yeah, it's sweet.
So I experienced that once again from a black lady. And not to say that all black ladies are out here, you know, curling up their lip and looking at you some type of way or looking at me some type of way. But I think that there was a very revealing conversation that we had with Maddie when we were in Kansas. And I'd like you to touch on that because you were the one who actually had the conversation. I just heard about it after the fact.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful for me too. So could you touch on that?
Yes. So my best friend in high school, Maddie, is black. She was and is.
Yep. Still out here. Still melanated.
Is.
Yep.
Always was. Always is. And so we had our 10-year high school reunion 2 summers ago, I guess now, wasn't it?
2 falls ago. It was in September. It was like right when we moved.
Yeah, that's true. And so I was hanging out with her and she was just asking, you know, questions about, I don't know, like what it's like to be in an interracial couple and like what we've experienced and stuff. So like I was telling her about this encounter at Target and I was like, not like, and can you believe blah, 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 blah. Like I really wanted to understand like from the perspective of another black woman, how it might be interpreted, you know, or viewed. Because she can more empathize than I can.
Right.
So Maddie just said like, and Maddie is single. Well, she has a boyfriend, but like she's single. She's a single black woman. And so she felt that even her felt sometimes that black men don't want to be with black women and they kind of idolize white women. And so some women have an issue with that. And that's the assumption that they make is like, well, I wasn't good enough for this black man. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't pick a black woman to be with. And so she said that a lot of times she even has had that feeling before as well. Like, so a black woman wasn't good enough for you. Almost like, I don't know, like, black men idolize white women, and if I could be with a white woman over a black woman, then that would be great, you know?
Yeah.
So I just find it like interesting, and like it's an assumption to say like, Nate, you just sought out a white woman, but white women were who you grew up around, you know? So like you were always attracted to them, but like the lady in Target doesn't know that. And I do think, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before or not, but I do think that there's this weird stereotype that, like, is hyper-sexualized about being in an interracial relationship.
Yeah.
Like, not to go there, but I think a lot of times, like, white women think, like, I'm gonna be with the black man because he's got a big penis. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, hyper-sexualized.
No, I feel you. And to speak on that, just to give a little bit more context, when Jen says that I grew up like around a bunch of white ladies, like that was the reality. I went to a Christian school and I was the only black kid in my class until third grade. And then, fourth grade, fifth grade, I went to like a normal situation. And then for sixth, seventh and eighth grade, I went to a charter school and it was me, my brother, my sister, maybe three other black people in the whole school. Right. So the folks that I was around, period, like my peers and the people I went to church with, like all of that were mostly white people as a whole. And then I get to high school and I play soccer and lacrosse. The majority of the people on the soccer team are white dudes. The majority of people on the lacrosse team, except me and my brother, were white dudes. And we played opposite of the girls lacrosse team and the field hockey team, which once again, mostly white women. So the people that that was in my friend group, my circle of friends, were mostly white folks. And it wasn't until I went to college and like on purpose, my parents signed me up for this multicultural program so that I could meet people who were African and Hispanic and
which is super
Middle
cool.
Eastern. Yeah, which was awesome. And I still know a lot of those folks to this day. But anyway, those are the people that I grew up around. But so Maddie was saying that, but she also said in her experience, and I'll let you touch on this, as she said that she had no problem with like white dudes being interested in her. Right. She was saying like, man, a white dude like all day will be like, oh man, she's this, that, or whatever.
Like white dudes really, but even kind of just fetishize her. You know what I mean? She's got a booty or she's got big lips or whatever. Like it's all just so hypersexualized, not just like who the person is.
Right. I'm trying to alley-oop you, but I think you're dunking the ball in a different nets. But what she was saying was, and your retelling of it to me was, she said that there are qualities about herself that are great qualities that she has, but they're qualities that when trying to get a black gentleman interested in her, those were qualities that were not celebrated. Like she has like a strong opinion. She's outspoken in ways. Mm-hmm. She is she has opinions and she has no problem, you know, letting you know I disagree or you know whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And she said how so that's where I wanted you and so speak on that because I wasn't there.
Well, she was basically just saying like a lot of black men don't celebrate that. It's like, oh, she's flamboyant or, oh, she's boisterous. I don't know.
Sure, boisterous.
Boisterous.
Works.
And it's not really like a celebrated quality. So, I mean, you pretty much said everything.
But for her so those qualities were not celebrated in her. However, the inverse of that, those same qualities in a white woman were being celebrated. So, if it was her and it was a quality, it's like she's being loud or noisy or whatever. Whereas with like a white woman, it would be characterized as she speaks her mind or she has a lot of confidence, like that type of thing.
Right.
And I think that she was seeing like a crossover, like, yo, I have these same qualities, but you're reading them in me differently than you're reading them in someone else. And that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I think that she was saying, like, in a sense, it is a little bit upsetting because it's like that's when, like, a black dude, like, gets with anybody else type of thing. Because she's like, it takes away the opportunity for...
Yeah.
How did she say it? Like, I don't think I'm saying it well, but how did she say it?
Like, it's one less black guy to marry a black woman?
Yeah, but I feel like she said it more eloquently than that. Not just like, oh, like a fish out the sea. But I think it was like essentially like most dudes aren't checking for black women as a whole except for black dudes. And so you're taking one more possible. That's what it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like one, like the one type of dude that's usually interested in my type of, like who I am as a woman.
Like black guys are.
Yeah. You're taking that type. You're essentially someone's taking that guy out of the available pool of men. Like mm-hmm. her pool is, you know, it's segmented to just this small group of people. And so it's just like it becomes even smaller.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sure, super frustrating. I know that I was, at least in my experience, and it took a lot of, not like a lot of work, it took like a hard conversation with my mom and like friends, like black women friends of mine to like have serious conversations with me that helped me understand like the way that I was speaking about things or the way that I viewed things was wrong. But when I, like I said, grew up, sports and like the classes that I was in, all of that, like I had a bunch of friends that were like white folks, and so the women that I'd be interested in were like predominantly white girls because that's who I was around in all of those different social scenarios or whatever. But not only that, but the way that I behave myself, like in the way that I talked and the different activities and whatnot that I was into, for me back then, it felt like black women weren't necessarily checking for me, you know, being the dude playing, like lacrosse and soccer and, like being into the stuff that I was into. It wasn't a particularly like, I guess it just didn't seem like those qualities about myself were being celebrated. And not to say that there weren't people who maybe secretly did, you know, celebrate that and was like, oh man, I'm all about Nate. I'm just not saying anything. I don't know if that was the case, but I wasn't necessarily getting that type of attention then. The inverse of that, and probably in the fetish type arena, like I think that there were white girls that are interested in me because I was like the black dude in the class. You know what I mean? Or like the whatever. And so that you usually gravitate towards, I feel like this is the case oftentimes. You like who likes you. You gravitate towards people who like you. If you had a group of friends and every time you left that group of friends, they made you feel like you're the best, you're amazing, you're so smart and funny. You're like, yeah, I like hanging out with these folks. Like I like being around these people. I want to hang out with them more often. Mm-hmm. Inverse of that, if you hung around a group of people that made you feel like poop every time you hung out with them, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not really trying to hang out with them. So I think for me as a whole, there's a line by this dude named Earl Sweatshirt, and his music is very dark, and so I don't recommend listening to it. He's a great rapper, but don't listen to his music. But there's a line in, I forget what the song's name is, but he says, too black for the white kids and too white for the blacks, went from honor roll to cracking locks off of bicycle racks, is essentially what the line is. But he was pretty much saying like he felt as though he didn't fit in either community. Felt like he was too white, quote unquote, for black people. Like spoke too well, which is stupid because that speaking properly isn't an inherently white trait.
Right.
So like because he spoke well or things that he's interested in, like rock music and stuff like that. He was too white for that group of people and too black for like his white friends. So was too urban in whatever way, like somebody designates something being super urban. And so he just felt like, man, I don't fit in either camp of, you know, person. I think that I too felt that way growing up. And so I mostly hung around white people because I felt like, yo, I'm not like urban enough to hang around like fellow black folks, which was tough. I know that you got to hang out with a blend of people, kind of, but the majority of your church friends were just straight up
white folks.
Yeah,
and that's who I spent a good majority of my time with outside of school. But then in school, Maddie was my best friend, so we would sit together at lunch and stuff, and all of her friends were black, so at school, it was just very different.
Yeah.
But at church, it was all white folks.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was the same thing at my youth group growing up before I got to high school. And it wasn't until then I was playing Call of Duty with my friend Elvin, and he's a Middle Eastern dude, but I didn't meet him and be around a bunch of other black folks until like high school. And then once again, like I said, it wasn't even until college that I was really around like some diverse folks. And the thing is that each time I was around different people, I felt as though like I had a better understanding of the world and all of that. Would you agree? Would you say that's the case, has been the case for you?
Yes, definitely. Because when I got into college, I spent all my nights at a hookah bar that was owned by a Middle Eastern family, and every member of the family worked there at that hookah bar. So sons, daughters, dads, uncles, you know, so I really got to know them. I went there for years after I would get off work and then have schoolwork to do. And yeah, I mean, it really opened my eyes to a different culture, a different cuisine, a different language, a different, like they still have arranged marriages, you know what I mean? Just so different than right. our culture. And so it was very eye-opening, like in a great way.
And you wouldn't have had that experience if you just said, I'm not hanging out with these folks.
Which is what a lot of people do. They have prejudice towards them. You know what I mean? They're all different types of cultures, all sorts of different types of cultures. And there's prejudices towards.
Oh, yeah. And there's prejudices within that, like, people group, or like that group. Like, there's people, and I was prejudiced towards African people who are like the same skin tone, same skin color as me. I was prejudiced towards African folks. And in the inverse of that, my friend Kobe was letting me know that, like, African people were prejudiced towards, like, black American people.
I think this is our turn. I'm sorry, but...
Is it this right here? Are you guessing or no? You don't know? Okay.
I think it is. I don't know why it didn't take us that way.
I don't know either, but you weren't sure about it, so I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But
it's okay.
What Kobe was saying was that African folks at times have... just feel some type of way about black American folks because it's like you're not in touch with your heritage or you're not like supporting your people, that type of thing, which I had no idea about. So people can be prejudiced within your own like group of folks.
Yeah.
But even more so, people usually don't want to spend time around people who don't look like them or who don't think like them. I'd venture to say that I've learned a whole lot being around people who don't think like me or folks that don't look like me.
And just how boring.
Yeah, how boring is your... Yeah.
If everybody looked just like you and everybody ate the same foods as you.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what I mean?
Thought the exact same way and yeah.
Okay. We are very dark.
Yeah, I'm not sure what man's doing.
As I pass a white man who's overly tan. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, guy.
He looked like he's a little orange, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that may have been sprayed on.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
No, I feel you. And case in point, like, I got a good friend, Corey. I think that we see differently politically in some ways. But, Corey will fight a man if he, you know, disrespects me in any type of way. And vice versa. I'll be quick to, you know, cut somebody's legs off if they come at Corey. And I thought wrongly at first, but I thought, man, like Corey's like a Southern type dude, you know, likes hunting and whatnot. He's not going to be a fan of me. And I was incorrect.
A little friendship has blossomed.
A fantastic friendship.
It's so sweet. I was a little Corey,
if you're listening,
all the time.
Yeah, we'd be cracking each other up. So Corey, if you're listening, bro, I appreciate you, man. And Corey was the first person I told that we were expecting a child. Mm-hmm. Very
because
first person.
Corey, too, just had a baby.
Yes, he did.
A couple weeks before we were supposed to have a baby.
So, yeah, Corey, shout out to you, man. We are pulling up to Women's Wellness. We will continue this conversation on diversity and things of that nature as soon as I park the car. Do you want to hop out and start the whatever? Or okay, that's just shaking her head. No, sweet. All right, cue the transition music. We'll be right back. And we back, and we back. Jen's appointment went great. Also, just want to say, as the husband of my expecting wife, it is weird to see a lady doing what she was doing.
You mean like finger and stuff?
Wasn't going to take it there.
No, not like that.
Will, I'm sorry. And to all of the Christian people listening, my bad.
I didn't mean it like that. Like, that's how they check it, with their fingers and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's strange for me. She's like, yep, we're going to just swab this and wipe that and do this and yada yada. Hold on. Look for at Wendy's ordering frosties. Ice cream.
Okay, can I get a medium chocolate frosty?
Medium is so large.
Really? How big is it?
Hi, Steve. Could I please do one small frosty? Chocolate frosty?
Sure, one small chocolate, okay.
And you want them? Are you sure? How many ounces is a small?
16 ounces.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Make that two.
Oh, sorry.
I need a 16.
Okay. We'll do medium. We'll do a medium chocolate frosty as well.
Okay. Sounds good. What else can I get you?
Could I actually switch that the small that's a chocolate? Can we make that a small vanilla?
All right. So instead of a medium chocolate, you want a small vanilla?
So one small vanilla, one medium chocolate. Sorry about that. That's it, sir. Awesome, thank you.
He didn't even let you finish. 418. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I probably messed them up. Here's the thing. The thing is that chocolate is great, but if we both get chocolate, then I can't try yours.
I was gonna. Did you get vanilla?
Yeah.
I love the vanilla ones.
Then why'd you get a chocolate one?
Because that's the tradition.
What do you mean the tradition?
That's the best one. That's the traditional frosty. Then they may be introducing this vanilla bullshit, but it's good.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out. Anyway, it's weird for me. So let's say, the exam consists, I don't need to go into detail. And I don't know if you saw me, but I was looking away as the exam was happening. Because it's just weird. That's why I was like, do I need to be in the room for this? Not that I'm not trying to be supportive or be there for you and the baby or whatever. But here is this we haven't met this woman before. This is essentially a stranger. She, at the end of the examination, could have said, haha, just kidding. My name's Margaret. And I just came off the street wearing nurse clothes. Never met this woman before in our lives. And now she's checking Jen's downstairs area. And I'm just sitting there off to the side trying to smile with my eyes because I got a mask on.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. You just got to put your trust into them.
Okay.
You know?
Now, you're telling me that if you went to an exam with me and, you know, Dr. Kazma Fraz was like, so we're going to do this butt check. Nate, we're going to need you to put your heels towards your butt. And I'm going to go ahead and check that thing. And you're sitting there in the room. You're just smiling. And
yeah, because you just have to do what they say.
But that's not strange for
you? Ask no questions.
That's not strange for you?
I don't know.
Keep in mind, up until that point, you never seen somebody.
Once you've done it so much, you don't really care anymore.
Wow. Okay. Well, I never want to get used to that.
It's just kind of like, what you going to do today?
Oh, cool, wow. Let's do it. That's how it feels?
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm just going to take a quick, it's not a break. I think they've already made them.
Would you like your receipt? No, thank you.
All
right. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay.
She said my pleasure. She got fired from Chick-fil-A.
No, everybody's saying my pleasure now. Every place is saying my pleasure. Have you not noticed that? Man, we got to stop going to all these fast food places. Oh, my goodness. Fun fact about Jen. These days, she drops everything on the ground. Quite literally everything. And it's just up to me to get it. She'll drop it on the ground. She'll spill things. And she's like, oh, pregnancy. She wasn't that coordinated to before the pregnancy. Jen, am I right or wrong?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not me coming at her neck. That's just me... come at her
in all fairness, I have very quick reflexes.
No, you don't. Oh my goodness, you do not. I don't know. No, I think no. You think that you have quick reflexes. You don't. In the episode that we did about the beach whale, you're like, "Oh, Jason, Nate doesn't have those Baker reflexes." None of y'all have fast reflexes.
Jason does, for
real. Yeah, just your brother Jason. The rest of you guys, no.
All the good stuff, because he's the oldest.
Okay, but the rest of y'all, no. Your reflexes are slow.
This isn't what I remember.
But what do you mean?
The frosty.
Are you upset about what you're eating right now?
Mm-mm.
What do you mean it's not what you remember?
It just tastes a little watered down.
Okay. Is it not sugary enough for you?
I don't think they put the right amount of chocolate in it or something.
Well, it usually comes in a pre-whatever bag, and they put that in the machine, and then it just kind of whips it into shape. That's what we did at RRB's.
Careful.
I see
careful.
Them. I see them. I didn't see them at first, in your defense. Okay, so where we last left off, we were talking about racism. Well, not necessarily racism, but prejudice. Let me make this turn real quick. There it is. All right. So my band had the pleasure of playing at church two Sundays ago. And in my band, shout out to Breakfast. None of y'all are listening, but it's okay. We have, like, honestly, the United Nations of ethnicities represented. So we've got me and Moss, you know, two black dudes. We got Kobe, an African guy. JJ, lead singer, Filipino dude. We've got Ronnie, white dude. Kyle, a white dude with dark hair. I mean, not that that's different than a white dude with brown hair.
Luke,
white dude with blonde hair, and Andrew, white dude with a beard, and yeah, we got a bunch of different folks. The guy who would do our video stuff is Chris Ahn. Shout out to you if you're listening. Probably not. Asian guy. And all of this came from college, because I think college, you just are around all of these different types of folks. Which was great. I didn't get to see the diversity that I now appreciate until I was in college. There was a lady, not going to go too deep into her story, but there was a lady who was a teacher. Come on, man. What the heck? Okay. Well, who knows if he was having a... No, he wasn't. I was thinking he might have been having a medical emergency. He was just being slow. There was a woman who was a teacher at Temple. And she said that the first time that she saw another black person was in college. First time she saw in person another person that was different than her was in college, which means that she lived 17, 18 years without seeing or interacting with someone who looked different than her, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's sad.
Which is wild. And our niece, Isabella... I think that we've told this story before.
She knows what's up. Not
this past Christmas, the Christmas before that, or it wasn't the Christmas, it was the New Year's ball drop before the past one. So 2019, right? Because 2020, we weren't there. So 2019, we were there because it was right before we moved to Delaware. We were there. Black dude gets on the screen with glasses. She goes, "Uncle Nate." So she recognized, like, a different person's color at two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two. She's able to talk. So, two. So,
It was cute.
It wasn't me on the stage. It was, I think the guy's an actor. I think that's who it was. Wasn't me. But,
Yours?
Oh, my good. Did you just crush yours?
No.
Jeez Louise. I was like, we just got this. I haven't even tried mine.
Flavor.
Okay.
Can we spoon feed you some?
No. Go ahead. Please don't eat my whole thing.
I'm not. I'm just going to take two bites.
Two's going to turn into three or four. I know you're about to eat my whole thing. That's why I don't, you know, why do I even bother ordering food for myself?
Just one.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
This one cool car.
Yeah, it's an old school.
It's an old school Mercedes, like an old one.
I've seen a lot of those are in like
top off.
A lot of these like older cars in Rehoboth. Looks like a younger guy driving it too. Yeah. Okay, get it, sir. Oh, you must go for money. All right. What was I going to say? Okay, so my niece recognized that very early on. I saw a post today on Instagram, and someone said, "Never trust anybody who says they don't seem." Never trust anybody that says that they don't see color, because that means that you're invisible to them. And I thought, dang, that's good.
People say that like they're woke or something.
And and I understand the sentiment, which is, I'm not judging people based off of the way that they look. You know, I'm treating everybody differently, or everyone the same. You know, I'm not treating anybody any special way or any negative type of way, but I don't think that sounds great in theory, but that actually isn't great in practice. And the reason I say that is because you treat, for example, somebody from a different country, you treat them differently than you would someone who's from America. Not differently in a negative way, like, you know, screw you, get out of here. But you treat them differently because you're understanding, hey, your background is different than my own. I might have to speak in gestures in addition to using my words, or like act a thing out, because you might not understand what I'm saying. That's not being rude. And I would ask the person, do you speak English, before, you know, doing a whole song and dance thing.
Here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I would ask somebody beforehand, like, hey, do you speak English, before you start, you know, doing a Pictionary type situation. But you would treat that person differently, not out of being rude or anything like that, but you're trying to accommodate them to make it easier for you to communicate, for it to be easier for you to understand. The same way that you would treat somebody who is blind differently than you would treat somebody with sight. You're like, hey, I recognize the difference within you. I'm not going to treat you negatively because of that, but I recognize that, and I want to behave accordingly. The same way that you treat somebody in a wheelchair differently. To say that you don't see any of those differences is ridiculous. You know, if somebody had a wheelchair and you just pushed the door open for them the way that you would, you know, somebody who wasn't in a wheelchair, it's like, whoa, did you not see this person, you know, is handicapped in some sort of way? Like, why are you treating it? You would be treating them poorly if you treated them the same way that you treat everyone else. I'd go so far as to say that you treat people who are mentally challenged differently than you treat people who may not be mentally challenged. Once again, not in a negative way, but in a way that, like, you're better able to communicate. And whatever the mentally challenged, you know, whatever it is, you treat them differently to accommodate that. There's some folks that don't particularly care for loud noises, or, you know, there's a myriad of things. So I say that to say, and I know that I was speaking specifically about things that are handicaps, you know, outside of being from a different country, not speaking the language, but I think the same thing goes for someone who's of a different culture. I think that you should warmly welcome the difference, because that's an opportunity to learn about someone and something different than yourself. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first in your mind, outside of Maddie and the folks from the hookah shop, what was your first realization of, like, oh man, like, there are other cultures and nationalities out there other than myself?
Let's see here. Like, the first person that I met that was different than me. Oh, but before both Maddie and the hookah bar experience, I had a friend named Grace Chaw who every summer she would go to, I'm not sure where her family was from, actually, Korea maybe, or Japan, and she would bring back the coolest stationery,
and start the new school year with all these different pins and these fun erasers and okay. stickers and folders and stuff. And I was like, that is all so much cooler than we have here. They're like the cutest little, like there would be like little bobble things on the ends of her pens and pencils. Mm. And so I was good friends with Grace. And Grace then would start to bring things back for me and this at the beginning of the school year.
That's
she would
cool.
have pins and stuff for me. So it was really, really cool.
Did people treat Grace any type of way? Like,
I don't remember people treating her different or, you know, inappropriately or anything. And I honestly don't even remember thinking to myself, like, Grace is any different than I am. Just that
Grace
had access to these awesome, you know, school supplies.
How old were you?
I remember that being like 5th grade, 6th grade.
Okay. So 10, 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids know about different cultures and stuff like that by then. But you didn't, like, did your parents ever sit down and like, show you, like, hey, these are, this person's from, how did you learn that?
I don't really know.
Do you think it's something that should be taught?
Well,
or?
My parents' best friends were Hispanic. So that was just kind of always normal. I don't really know. They never said, like, okay, and there's going to be different ethnicities and people from different cultures that look different than you, okay?
Mm.
It wasn't anything like that. It was just kind of like, it was in my world, I guess.
Okay.
It really wasn't that, like, crazy to me. I went to a pretty diverse school, so I went to school with lots of different kids of different ethnicities, so it was pretty normal.
I see. Hmm. I mean, I once again, like I said earlier, I lacked that diversity growing up. But when I don't think that I was really taught that either. I think you learn about the world when you're a kid. Like, you first probably learn about the different states. You know, there's people, like, I think that you your world slowly gets bigger when you're a kid. At first, it's just your family, and then you start realizing, I have an extended family. I've got grandparents and cousins and uncles and blah, blah, blah. So there's homes outside of your own home. You know what I'm saying? And then there's people who live in different neighborhoods. Different neighborhoods in your town. Different neighborhoods in your state. You know, and then it just keeps getting more and more broad. And your worldview, I believe, gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I remember, and this is unfortunate, but like when 9/11 happened and we were in the 5th grade, I don't remember seeing very many Middle Eastern people, period. Like at my school, anywhere. You know what I mean? So like, I don't think I would have had that experience with Middle Eastern people if I didn't go to the hookah bar. And like, hookah is like traditionally a very Middle Eastern, like you sit around and when you're chumming,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what you do. So I don't think I would have, like, to this day had any experiences with Middle Eastern people if I hadn't gone to the hookah bar. Truly.
And clearly you weren't there in 5th grade, just to clarify.
No, I went there. I started going there in college, but yeah.
No, I feel you. And
it's fun to know. It's fun to meet people of different ethnicities and different than you. And
yeah,
I think people too, because like I would always ask the people at the hookah bars, at the hookah bar, their last name was Abu Sherby. And I would always ask them questions about where they came from. Like they lived in Jordan and, it's very interesting. Like they couldn't visit Jerusalem or Israel or places like that because of like literally turmoil that happened in the Bible times. They're still not able to go to those countries. And so like talking to them and learning about like their present day culture and is just so interesting. And then they, two of the girls went through arranged marriages while I knew them. And you know, so it's just like, I never knew about it. It's just so cool. So cool.
That's not something that you sought out, correct? That was just kind of like,
well, just over time, like,
right.
I mean, we had a mutual, I'm telling you, I went there every day for years. So we've developed a mutual respect for one another. And they knew that I wasn't asking these questions to judge them or,
right,
you know, like just out of I don't know, a place of like, yeah, judgment. That's not why I was asking. I genuinely cared about them and wanted to know like what their life experience is like.
Right.
Because their primary language wasn't English.
True.
You know, they spoke to each other in Arabic. So just everything about them was very interesting to me. And they knew that I was genuinely curious, not just like, that's weird.
Right.
So, but that took time. I mean, we had to build that trust. I didn't just come out first day like.
So tell me about your homeland.
Yeah, not like that at all.
No, I feel that.
Yeah, it took time.
I respect that. I think that I didn't seek out diversity or anything like that. I think that just being in school, you are presented with people. I mean, clearly, you're presented with people whose upbringings are different than your own. I didn't know. Like, I think I found out about divorce, like, in fourth or fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that people didn't state it. Like, in my little mind, in my little world, you get married to somebody and you stay with them forever. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's your mommy and your daddy. Yep. And they're always together.
And they live in one house, blah, blah.
Yep.
So when people said, like, oh, yeah, at my mom's house, and I was just like. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean your mom says? Yep. Yeah, I put like, my foot in my mouth big time with that in fourth grade.
Really? What'd you say?
I had a friend whose parents were divorced, always had been. But her dad wasn't very present in her life. I didn't know that. But she would say, like, my mom's house, you know? Or, like, Christmas with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that must be so cool because you get double the presents. Thinking, wow. Like, you have two separate parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are giving you like double the gifts for Christmas.
What they say?
But her
say
dad
to
that? Wasn't very present in her life. Oh, she told the teacher. I got in big trouble.
Dang.
My parents had to teach me about divorce real quick.
Okay.
Because I offended her.
No.
You know?
No, I understand. I think that and I don't know the details around this scenario, but the only people that are still married in both my mom's family and my dad's family are them. Out of all of their siblings, out of all of that, they're the only ones. My dad has five brothers and a sister. And four brothers and a sister, excuse me. There's six kids total. Yeah. Four brothers and a sister. Is that right? Uncle Todd, Uncle Perry, Uncle Ronald. Is there another one?
Perry, Todd,
Ronald. Is there another one? Is that it? Oh,
no,
maybe there's
another one.
Is there? I don't think there is. Maybe just three.
And Aunt Elizabeth. Maybe right. There's just five of them.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Five of them.
Yeah.
Total.
I was thinking there were six. All right, I'm tripping. But anyway, all three of them. I think outside of my Aunt Elizabeth, I don't think she was married before, but her husband passed away last year. Fairly certain it was, it was fairly certain it was COVID. Mm. But yeah, all of my uncles separated from their wives, all of my mom's siblings separated from their spouses. And so the first one out of all of my parents, I believe was my uncle, separated from his. Or no, it was my aunt separated from, I wasn't going to use her name, but,
sorry.
It's okay. We're past it now. So my aunt,
I just was curious, genuinely curious.
Yes. My aunt Sylvia. And so I had an uncle named Eddie who was a cop, and I just don't remember him being very kind to my aunt, and he wasn't very like warm and friendly. To us kids, I remember, like, very quiet. And there's nothing wrong with being kind of more reserved or kind of keeping things to yourself. But I believe, and I didn't know this at the time, and maybe my mom told me this later on, I believe that he was unfaithful to my aunt.
You're putting it all out there.
What?
I said the name, you're giving all the deets.
But they would have had nothing if they didn't have a name to go along with
my
it.
Uncle Eddie.
I mean, because you pulled up. I mean, you drove to the location.
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say my aunt And my, I was going to keep it real vague. You're like, which one?
Was
this one.
Officer in New York.
Okay, didn't say all that. Okay, didn't say all that. Okay. Anyway, so I think that my mom had to explain to me, yeah, like Uncle Eddie's not going to be around anymore. And I was like, really? Why? He's like, well, him and That's Aunt crazy. Sophia, they aren't happy together anymore. And Dang, so he.
What a crazy thing to have to explain to your children.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do.
One out of two marriages end in divorce.
A lot of people do.
And that's just, that's like, doesn't matter if you're from Nebraska, Florida, California, whatever. One out of two is the, that's the average. So out of your parents, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that your dad's sister never married anyone. And I think, your mom had two sisters, right? Has two sisters?
Yeah, my mom has two sisters. One was married. My uncle passed away when I was in the fifth grade.
True.
My aunt never remarried. And then my other aunt and my uncle are married.
True. But yeah, one out of two is the average. And we are beating those odds every day.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
But yeah, that is a wild concept to explain to someone. But it wasn't until, like I said, fourth, fifth grade, that I realized that families look different than my own.
That's
you know what I mean? So a diversity is as far as like family upbringing. Mm-hmm. Also learned fairly quickly that like my family has their own way of doing things when it comes to like praying for your food and all that stuff. I remember being like young and realizing that like my friends just kind of, sorry, that was a burp. My friends just kind of jumped in and started eating, and I would like quietly pray to myself and be like, Lord, thank you for this food. Mm-hmm. Please help it to nourish my body. In Jesus' name, amen. To myself and think like, oh, y'all don't pray? Y'all don't pray for your food? Like mm-hmm. we do for every meal? But I realized, oh, there's people who believe different things than I do. Mm-hmm. And it was very important for me to see those differences growing up. Extremely mm-hmm. important. I could only imagine, like, being in some sort of a bubble where everything was, you know, exactly the same. And then when I'm old enough to be out of the house and all that stuff, learning about all this stuff myself. Like, the girl, I think her name's Daphne from Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. She was super sheltered. Did you know sheltered people growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example.
I had some friends at church that were homeschooled. They didn't know a thing.
And you're not talking just like sex stuff. They didn't know anything about anything?
Just no street smarts. Just very quiet, and that's fine. You can be quiet. Different interests and everything. But it was just kind of like, I don't know. I have nothing against homeschool. I actually prefer it.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to socialize.
That's the difference.
A couple of different forms of socialization. And there's tons of resources for that nowadays. Homeschool groups that meet up at the park and everything else. So,
in fact, I think we talked about ourselves. We were hoping to homeschool until a certain age.
That's my hope.
There are some things that I mean, I don't really remember a lot of like the early elementary type stuff, but like up until like fifth, sixth, seventh grade, like all that stuff didn't, like, I can't remember any of it. And I don't think that stuff shaped me to be who I am, like, positively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, you mean like the social stuff.
Yeah, the social stuff I think was...
Because you learn a lot of like educational stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I learned a bunch of that stuff. But like the social stuff, like I think you could go to a dance at like 6th grade, 7th mm-hmm. grade, so...
Well, if your parents let you.
Yeah.
Mine did not.
Yeah, mine did. But they think they probably also weren't privy to the type of dancing that was happening.
Oh my.
In the
That's
dark.
Why my parents wouldn't let me go.
No, they were
My
hit.
Parents said, no, you will be grinding on no one.
True.
I wouldn't have known how to anyways.
True. And I didn't know how to be ground upon.
And I did not know how to dance even in high school. I didn't dance.
Oh wow. Did you go to the dances and just like stand on the wall?
Yeah, just to get dressed up.
True. I did the same thing. I didn't really dance with anybody.
It was fun. Get dressed up, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even know how to grind until I met you.
Okay. Lord have mercy.
Got to make a C shape, right?
Okay. What? No, sorry. It's a figure eight.
Oh, okay. See, I've you've learned nothing.
You've learned nothing.
When I was just like, can you teach me how?
A C shape?
Left, right, up, down, back. I don't remember.
I don't think back was. Yes, I do.
Left, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Up. It's like kind of like you're conducting, you know?
I guess.
That is so funny.
That's not what's happening at these various clubs. People aren't like left, right, up, down, back,
no,
forth.
Just like, shake it, move it.
That's also not what's.
I don't know.
That's
what
also
they do.
Not what.
I'm talking like I know what they
move
do.
It.
I don't know what they do.
Shake it now.
But yeah, I'll tell you happening. Right now, I never had the personality, not in high school, not in college, not in anything, for somebody to just come up and think that what I'm throwing back is theirs to grab onto. Okay. Excuse me?
Wow.
Are you touching my hips? That never. You know my personality.
I know. I'm experiencing it.
I would have turned around
now.
So quick.
Excuse me, sir. I'm shaking
Excuse
it for me. I'm shaking
right.
this for me and my friends.
Right. What about this made you think that I was shaking this for you? Back up.
Ooh, okay.
I'm getting heated just thinking about it.
Clearly.
But that's how dances worked. I guess I'll just grab onto this one.
Well, usually, okay. Usually, the people that you were dancing with were people that you know, so your friends, or like it wasn't just you weren't just grinding on a stranger. Generally,
know.
But I wasn't out here dancing like that. There are people who were, and they make fun of like, ooh, she dancing with Geraldo. Ooh,
Geraldo.
Keisha throwing it on Geraldo. Oh no. Meanwhile, we're like standing at the wall eating chips out of a plastic cup. Feeling like some wingdings. Yeah, those were dances. And the teachers would walk by and monitor, you know, to make sure the dance that we were at. The dance that we were at, we were monitors. Me and Jen were for when I worked at the high school. We were monitoring this dance. No. What are you going to stop? There's
Excuse
nothing
me,
to
child,
stop.
My size.
Yeah,
could you back up?
Excuse me, football player that's as large as my dad. Could you not
back up like this?
Could you not be
I'm
holding
not
on
there.
To your girlfriend like that in the air? I really think
in
that.
The air.
Yeah, I really
in
think our purpose there was to stop them from doing drugs or drinking
or having sex
or like actually having intercourse with one another. Yeah, but chances are they had already done those things before.
That was on my bucket list, though.
I just said yeah they probably did drugs and were you know freaking it on the dance floor. You're like, it was on my bucket list. It's like
lose it all at
just risk it all. Yeah. To Nelly hot in here.
No,
yeah.
It was on my bucket list to chaperone a school dance.
Yeah, I don't think we really chaperoned it.
But it was fun.
It was fun. I just don't think that we did it the way that I think you wanted to cross it off your bucket list. Like, we're parents. Our kids are there.
No, I do not want to see our kids there. No.
Okay.
No.
That's what I thought that you were picturing.
Nope.
Like, what they
I
do in the
stay
movies.
Far away when that happens.
You're going to let our kid go and be grinded upon or grinding on people?
What is our kid going to feel if we are the chaperones at their school dance? Like, mom, dad, no.
They're going to feel like, oh, I can't be throwing it back on Tony like I had planned in my group
Whether
chat.
Whether you were here or not, you better not be throwing it back on no Tony.
No, that's accurate.
Throwing it back on you.
Okay, wow. That didn't come out the way you meant it to.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, this has been the... Another Nate Loves Gym podcast, CarPod DM style. We have just made it to our...
to the bathroom.
Okay, immediately.
Bye,
wow, okay, Jen's out. Feel free to subscribe, give us a rating, 5 stars, preferably follow us on Instagram, at Nate Loves Jen for me, at Jen Loves Nate for Jen, at Jen, any closing words before you pee on yourself?
No, I just have to go.
Okay, and I have to go too. Love you guys, bye.